doing the whole 6010.
Hello and welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. It is Monday, March 18th. My name is Daniel Dopp. You're coming to us live from the basement, not only of my house, but of Mike Clay. Mike, how you doing, buddy? I see that we're in your basement. I just want to ask you this question. I got dressed up. I put on a nice shirt. I got an undershirt on as well. I got real pants and everything like that too. But I want to know, are you wearing real adult pants? You wearing sweatpants?
No.
You wearing no pants? What's going on over there?
No, I'm wearing my Terry McLaurin t-shirt, F1.
F1, okay.
our old friend Matthew Berry, he'd said nickname, so I wear this shirt as much as possible, of course. And then check out the pants. Let's see if I can get these on here. Let's see. Football pants. Look, little footballs on the pants. These are my favorite comfy pants around the house.
Love it.
So yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm comfortable. Here's my question, Daniel. Can I wear these pants in person, like on campus?
Yes.
For the show?
I think so.
I think I should be able to, personally.
I'll tell you what. We're going to get to the end of the show. I'll find out if you're actually a better analyst in those comfy pants. And if you are, Mike, then yes, we're going to green light it. But I think you got to earn it.
All right. Maybe it should be like a fan vote. We should ask the fans. Should Mike show up in his football pajama pants?
Is
that acceptable? Yeah.
I think that's going to be that would be a resounding yes, in my opinion. I'd love to put that poll up, though. Let's put that poll up, Jackson. Let's make that happen. Let's see what we can find out. All right. Hey, we have a very fun show planned today. We're going to talk very quickly about the Justin Fields trade and then get into everything that happened over free agency. We had a little bit of a dive into free agency last week. So go check out if you want to listen about the Kirk Cousins trade. The Kirk Cousins move down to Atlanta and what that's going to do for all of those guys down there. But in this show, we're going to try to focus on the people that actually moved within free agency. So it'll be a ton of fun. We're going to start with the running backs, then dive into some wide receivers. It's going to be a very fun show, Mike. But I want to start at the top, if you don't mind, with a crazy trade. Like, I did not think that Justin Fields was only going to net a sixth round pick. Either the Bears totally misread this market or things happened where all of a sudden he just became less valuable. But understanding Russell Wilson feels like he's going to be the guy in Pittsburgh when you see Justin Fields leaving Chicago, doesn't really do a whole lot for fantasy. But what does it make you think as just a football fan?
Yeah, so I'm a little surprised. I didn't think that they would trade for Fields after they brought in Russell Wilson just because it feels like there's going to be immediate pressure on Wilson. He's going to throw an interception in week one, and then people are going to call into the radio, and there's going to be pressure, and there's going to be boos, and there's going to be Fields chants, and it's just going to start all kinds of, you know, we see it all the time, and it's just the natural thing with NFL fans, just impatience. So, you know, I'm surprised about it for that regard, but in terms of, you know, like egos aside and fanhood aside, like team building wise, it makes sense to bring in two options. The more, you know, if you're the best thing you could be in the NFL is a quarterback factory, you know, just even signing third or fourth stringers. You know, I saw a team just this weekend sign Tyler Huntley. Who knows? You know, yeah, maybe someone gets hurt and you trade him for a seventh round pick. You know, at least it's something. Their quarterbacks are so valuable. We see that all the time. So,
yeah,
I like it for Pittsburgh's perspective. Both guys were very cheap. And imagine 2 years ago saying, hey, in 2 years from now, the team's going to have Wilson and Fields as their quarterback. Should you be feel like that's great? So I'd say both, you know, Wilson was probably a little below average as a starter last year. I know some people think, what? He was terrible. He got benched. It was a cap thing. It didn't work out with Sean Payton fine, but realistically, he was probably a little below average. Good pickup for Pittsburgh. As for Fields, look, here's the thing. From a fantasy perspective, I'm not interested in Russell Wilson. You know, he might have some value in Superflex for a while, but he hasn't been a really good fantasy quarterback for a while. And now there's a lot more risk that he will be benched this year at some point. If Pittsburgh is struggling or he's struggling or whatever it may be, we could get a look at Justin Fields. I mean, why do you trade for him if you don't want to at least take a look at him at some point? Is he just going to be your long-term backup? Not necessarily. So I think there's more risk now that Wilson will take a seat at some point, and that makes him less appealing from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah. I don't see myself drafting either one of these Steelers quarterbacks. In Dynasty, I think it's interesting because Fields still holds value. You can't drop him, but all of a sudden this year he becomes a guy that's going to be sitting on your bench. You know what I mean? Which is tough.
That's such a good point. I mean, think about this. Had Fields been named the starter, not Wilson, we might be talking about him as QB8 in fantasy because of what he does with his legs. I mean, 2 years ago, he was fifth on a points per game basis in fantasy. Last year, he was 12th he's basically a QB1 because of what he brings to the table with his rushing ability. So if you had him in Dynasty, or you were considering him for your rankings next year, I know I had him around QB 10 for next year, he just plummets. And you're right, by the way, good point. In normal 10, 12, even 16 team leagues, non-super flex, you're not touching Justin Fields. Don't waste the draft pick. He is the backup quarterback. If Russ gets hurt, immediate add, no doubt. Like he's a rare quarterback that actually has insurance appeal.
Yeah.
Because he would be a QB1 in that circumstance. So, you know, really, really interesting for sure. But I'm with you. I'm shocked that the leagues think so little of him that you're going to see guys like Sam Darnold starting, maybe Aiden O'Connell or Gardner Minshew. Jared Stidham is the top of depth chart for Denver right now. I'm with you. I'm quite surprised by it.
Very surprised. Very surprised. And the idea that it could only turn into a fourth round pick if he reaches at least 51% of the playing time. So it doesn't feel like, unless things go very wrong with Russell Wilson, like that's something that's going to happen. So, and to close this out, Mike, I think you hit that nail on the head, though. If I'm the Pittsburgh Steelers, forget about fantasy for a minute. You just want to talk about team building. Of course, you trade a sixth round pick for a guy that has that kind of talent with how young he is to be able to potentially sit there, you know. That sixth rounder usually is going to be a special teams guy or a depth guy for your roster. So if you could get a potential starting quarterback down the road, why not give it a shot if you think there's still something there? All right, let's dive into our free agency conversation, Mike Clay. We're going to put these running backs into tiers. If you're watching on the YouTube screen, you'll see a little tier set up with an ideal fit, a great fit, good fit, wait and see, or I hate it. Those are the five tiers.
Those are like, it's tiers, T-I-E-R-S, but those guys, it's actual tiers.
T-E-A-R-S, yes.
For some guys, it is actual tiers. We are very upset. And several of these guys do fit that bill. I don't think I ever remember this much turnover at running back. And we're not done yet. You know, it's not a good draft class at the position, but some of these guys are going to have roles early on. You know, there's going to be some day two picks at running back, and those guys are going to be injected and cause some chaos. And we'll probably talk about that a little here. There's some of these guys we're going to talk about that are probably going to have some competition in about a month of, you know, a little over a month now,
a little over a month
till the draft. Yeah.
Yeah. Very excited to see the way that the draft is actually going to change the conversation that we're going to have now, but it's still fun to be able to dive in and look at all the things that changed place here. So let's start with your Philadelphia Eagles signing Saquon Barkley. I mean, listen, Mike, you guys are one of the best run blocking lines in the NFL. I'm not sure there is a team that is better at yards before first contact than the Philadelphia Eagles in the NFL. I take that back. You're fourth. So technically you're still top five in yards before first contact. Last year, yes.
And I mean, the line is going to be a little different this year. No Jason Kelce up front. Samalu is gone as well. So the interior line could be a little bit different. So keep that in mind. I'm working on O-line grades right now. I have the Eagles at fifth, and that's low for them. They're usually top two, if not number one. But you know, you have teams like Cleveland, Detroit that are your Lions are second in the rankings. Eagles drop a little bit because they have some question marks in the interior. So naturally, Barkley, you know, comes to Philly when they're not as dominant as they've been there in years past. But at the same time, Daniel, way better than what he has dealt with the Giants over the last, you know, 5 years. It's been a rough go in that department. So much better. We should expect the efficiency perhaps to be better, but we know the volume will be tremendous. Right now it's only Kenny Gainwell as the number two. I'm not really sure if they're going to add at that position, maybe a late round pick, a day three pick, but no doubt about it, Barkley will be the feature back here. I have this labeled, and you tell me if you agree, as an ideal fit in this Eagles offense. This is an excellent circumstances for him. Not one of as much pressure as he had with the Giants, but still going to get the workload. I mean, he's going to get a majority of the carries. He'll be involved in the passing game. The Eagles were a little below average in target share to running backs last year, which is probably higher than you think. You would think, you know, Jalen Hurts probably not dumping it off. He's going to Goddard and Brown and Smith, but they did get the ball in the hands of DeAndre Swift and Kenny Gainwell to some extent. So I think Barkley is actually in an excellent spot. I have him ranked sixth in my rankings right now for next season. So feeling pretty optimistic.
Yeah, I'm okay with an ideal fit. I had him as a great fit, Mike. The only reason why I didn't have him as an ideal fit was because of the fact that some of his rushing touchdowns were going to be taken away by Jalen Hurts there, right? This is a team that runs the ball almost as much as anybody else, more goal to go rushes than any other team in the NFL last year. So, but even with that, everything else that happens, I'm totally fine with an ideal fit because this is a much better spot for him. Even if they didn't utilize him as a pass catcher as much as I want to, we'll find out because of what we just saw with DeAndre Swift. We all thought he was going to get used as a pass catcher and that didn't happen. But I think that you're totally right. Everything is just a better situation here for Saquon. So I'm good with going with an ideal fit here because this is a big upgrade for him.
By the way, 3 years as the starter, Jalen Hurts has been in Philadelphia. The Eagles running backs are averaging 14.0 touchdowns per season, 16, 18, and 8. So last year was actually down a little bit, but generally they've been, you know, the first year 16 and 18. You figure Barkley, if he stays healthy, even if he misses a game or two, probably going to score, you know, what, 11 or 12 out of this 14? That's double fine. Digit, you know, easy. With all the volume he's going to have, that's still mid-range QB1. So I agree it's not Christian McCaffrey level. I mean, if everything goes right, maybe it is, but I'm with you. I think it would have been hard for him to find a better landing spot.
I think I'm with you on that one. All right, let's move ahead to the next running back. We're going to talk about Derrick Henry moving to the Baltimore Ravens. When we were talking about where we wanted to see these guys go a couple weeks ago in that episode with Field, I had Derrick Henry going to Baltimore. I wanted to see that thunder and lightning with Keaton Mitchell. You look at this Baltimore Ravens team. They were second in the NFL. Again, in goal-to-go rushes, they need someone to be able to be that big back at the goal line. I have this as a great fit for Derrick Henry coming over here. I want to know what you think about it.
Yeah, so I looked at it as from the perspective of, like, could he have done better? Like, is there a landing spot that would have been more ideal than this? And I think the answer is no, I don't. No. So I have this also as ideal. I don't think he could have found a better landing spot than this. I mean, even if you say maybe, I don't know, Dallas. Well, like, Dallas is offensive line. Have you checked the depth chart lately? It doesn't look so hot. You know, they have some big problems that they need to address on that O-line. So I think it's an ideal landing spot here. This is a guy that's led the NFL in carries for the last 5 years. His playing time was down last year. Still led the NFL in carries, double-digit touchdowns in six straight seasons, still effective last year. He is 30 now, and maybe he won't see a ton of work in the passing game. That was reduced last year, and perhaps they could use Justice Hill and Keaton Mitchell in that area. Also, Lamar Jackson not known for dumping the ball off. So that's going to limit his fantasy upside, but I have him RB13, and I'm not sure he would have been higher than that anywhere else. So I'm okay with great, but I think it's an ideal fit for him to wind down his career.
I am very good with ideal fit as well. That's the way that I also looked at it, was the idea of, like, if Derrick Henry's going to go somewhere, where does it feel like he's going to get the best run at the end of his career? And the team that ran the ball as much as they did and is as good of a run blocking line as they are, I'm all in on that one as well. Next one, I am not quite as all in on, Mike.
Yeah.
Austin Ekeler moves to the Washington Commanders. And this one is very difficult because Austin Ekeler literally was a fantasy superstar for the last 5 years. And then it felt like last year, the rug just completely got pulled out from underneath him. And I don't know is that we're ever going to go back and see that Austin Ekeler again. It feels like that time in his career has passed, because now moving to the Commanders, he's going to be splitting time with Brian Robinson Jr.
Right.
So in this situation, I have Austin Ekeler as a wait and see, because for me, I want to know, and I'm curious to see, with a rookie quarterback likely under center for the Commanders and knowing he's going to be the number two there in that committee, that's where I've got. Please, maybe you can speak some optimism into my Ekeler conversation, though.
Well, first of all, I hate it for Brian Robinson Jr., because I was really excited for him with Antonio Gibson leaving, and Eckler's definitely going to see a lot of passing game work, and that's where Robinson was kind of big play touchdown dependent earlier in the season, kind of flashed with some big games. It was his fantasy total was a little misleading. But as the year went on, he started to see more targets. Well, that's kind of gone now. I mean, Ekeler still with last year, like you said, like, was worst case scenario. He missed three games. The efficiency was down. Herbert was out, still sixth at running back in targets. And you would expect him to kind of slide into that Gibson role, see a lot of involvement in the passing game, and maybe push for 7 to 9 carries a game. So it knocks Robinson down. As for Ekeler, look, I still think he can land on the flex radar, maybe with a little more work than I'm projecting, get into the RB2 discussion in PPR because of that passing game work. So I put it good for him. I put it kind of middle ground because he is a good complement for Brian Robinson Jr. You're also going to have a rookie quarterback. They're probably going to be trailing a lot, struggling this year. If they're behind, that means Eckler's on the field catching dump off passes and could just soak up those catches. Think about Breece Hall late last season with the Jets when they're losing every week, and he just kept piling up catch after catch after catch, and that was huge for fantasy. So Eckler might be in that circumstance this year. So he's RB28 for me at the moment. Because those catches just go a long way. So again, going to rank him as a flex. It's not where he's been in years past, but as far as finding a landing spot that could bring him some fantasy value this year, I think he found that.
That's where, yeah. And I do think you did say something that I kind of felt it more like a negative with the idea of having a rookie quarterback, but the idea of being a safety valve potentially for that rookie quarterback, if you need it, could be really valuable within that offense.
Right.
All right, let's move ahead and talk about Tony Pollard. Leaving the Dallas Cowboys, we all had really high expectations for Tony Pollard last year, drafted as a top 12, sometimes top 10 running back. This year, it feels like that is not at all going to be the case, going to split time with Tajay Spears. I was actually, once Derrick Henry left, I was kind of excited to see maybe what Tajay Spears could be in that offense. Then you bring in Tony Pollard, and it's like, well, now I don't think I'm going to get to see either one of them in the way that I want to. Although, maybe, Mike, I'm in a spot where I'm not sure that I want to see Tony Pollard have the lead back role with 250 touches after what we saw last year, right?
Yeah, I think the question really is Pollard or Spears is the question here. Now, Henry was the better fantasy back in that backfield last year over Spears, but Spears played 53% of the snaps. He was really their lead back. A lot of passing him involved, but not as many carries. But he was on the field more than Derrick Henry, and it wasn't just garbage time. It was early on in games. Yep. So I feel like it's not absurd to say that Derrick Henry, even at age 29 last year, is better than Tony Pollard. So really they downgraded at that spot. And that means Spears should remain the 1A, you would think, as the former third round pick goes into his second season in the NFL. So I have Spears ranked 26th. I have Pollard ranked 27th. And I'm curious to see where the industry falls on that. Is that controversial? Is Pollard going to be the preferred fantasy option? Maybe. But I think if you assume Spears takes on more in year two and Pollard coming off a bit of a down year, and this is a committee and perhaps more Spears in the passing game than Pollard, that leads them to be the slightly better fantasy option. So I'm with you. I said hate it, and I hate it for a lot of reasons. I hate it because Pollard's not going to be a lead back, so we can't draft him as that. I hate it because it's another frustrating committee. I hate it because it's a bad offense with a bad, albeit slightly improved, but still shaky offensive line. And I hate it because it's crushing for Tajay Spears, you know, who we hoped maybe they would just bring in like a.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8 corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8 SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
I don't know, a Latavius Murray or something, you know, and just make Spears the lead back. That didn't happen either. So I hate it. I'm putting him at the bottom.
I had to wait and see because the idea like I wanted to see what was going to happen in that backfield. Maybe we got some clarity, like not only post-draft, but once you get into the offseason and what are camp reports and how are we hearing things are going. But I'm also okay with hate it because a part of the wait and see was I was excited to see what Tajay Spears was going to do. After watching him split time with Derrick Henry, I was excited to see what he could potentially be in this offense. So I'm fine to leave it as a hate it. Mike, I don't mind being a hater with you. I just didn't want to be the lone dissenting hater.
So. I've been too optimistic so far, right? We got a couple ideals. We gotta even it out here a little bit.
That's fair. All right. What about this next one? Josh Jacobs, one of the biggest moves of free agency, moves from the Raiders to the Green Bay Packers. Still only 26 years old, in spite of the fact that you feel like he's 29 because he's had so much work, such a big workload within the NFL. Mike, I have this as a great fit for Josh Jacobs going to this offense that needs a running back, still needs someone to be able to be a big part of this emerging offense with Jordan Love and all those young wide receivers that is there, especially now that A.J. Dillon has not been re-signed yet.
No, he did re-sign. He's back.
Oh, he did re-sign.
Yeah, he's back. But I think that's good, right? Because he hasn't played particularly well. So that's good news for Jacobs.
What was that deal? I did not see his deal come through. Do you know how big it was?
I don't know what the terms are, but pretty clearly going to be the two there with Jacobs as the feature back. So I'm with you. I mean, I think
1.1.
Yeah. So, I think that, I put him under ideal. I'm fine with great with Dillon re-signing there, but I think it's excellent. I'm also probably a little bit concerned about their offensive line too. So we'll see if they continue to add there. But in terms of volume, should be in great shape. Maybe not Raiders level volume, but pretty close to it. Should get most of the carries. We know he's a capable pass catcher. And A+ rushing touchdowns in all five seasons in the NFL. Though I do have some trivia for you, Daniel. If you get this, I will just, if you want, I'll just quit the pod because it'll be it. Like, there's no way you're getting this. Two players, check this out. Two players in NFL history have 150 plus catches in their career, but zero touchdown catches. Only two players in league history. One of them, of course, Josh Jacobs. The other one, who is it?
Mike Allstott.
No.
Oh.
Come on. You thought that was a good guess. It's a fellow by the name of Gerald Riggs. Gerald Riggs. So you're never getting that. That wasn't in danger at all. So
I don't know. I don't know. Super Gerald random Riggs.
There's a little bit of random trivia for you, but despite not catching a touchdown yet, he has rushed for quite a few. So I do like the landing spot. I'd put it in ideal or great. I'm fine with great.
The only reason I didn't put it in ideal and you had touched on it was the offensive line. I think that we could definitely add to that a little bit, kind of shore it up. But I do think that this offense will be much better in another year with Jordan Love under center, seeing Jaden Reed and Christian Watson, hopefully if he continues to stay healthy, and Romeo Dobbs and whatever else they add. And those tight ends, they have a really nice young group of skill position players. Mike, like that Packers team can be really good, and Josh Jacobs can be a big part of this.
Yeah, I'm with you. And by the way, I should point out Packers, I kind of them ranked as like a mid-range O-line at the moment, but they grade out better run blocking. So they grade out better as pass blocking. They're third in pass rush win rate, like kind of a consensus grade of their current projected offensive line, 10th in runs. So they're actually top 10 in both. You look over at PFF, the grades are a little underwhelming. So kind of mixed reviews, but they had a couple losses this offseason. So we'll see what they do. So not a major concern, but maybe not the borderline top five Packers lines we've seen in at times over the last decade.
Are you going to have, is Jacobs going to land inside the top 10? Is that
a good question? No, actually, I have him 15th. He came in a little lower than I would have thought, but it's just a lot of guys kind of in that range. You think about Henry, who we talked about, ETN, Joe Mixon, Rashad White, Alvin Kamara, who was he was a top five running back on a per game basis last year. Pacheco, James Cook, Gibbs. You know, I have all those guys I just said in one tier from 7 to 15. So you could put Jacobs 7 or 8. You could put him 15. He's right in that area. But I did struggle with that tier. There's a lot of similar valued players in that range.
All right. Moving on, the Bengals. This actually wasn't a free agency move, but we got to talk about it too because it's a running back. The Bengals trade Joe Mixon to the Houston Texans. Mike, Joe Mixon, I feel like is the same Joe Mixon that we see every single year. Here's the thing. I personally, Daniel Dopp, I hate this.
You hate it?
Yeah. Like, I just think Joe Mixon is just a fine average running back. I don't think that there's anything super crazy or super special. And maybe it's just because the Cincinnati Bengals have been so bad from an offensive line perspective. They don't run the football nearly as much as they should. And maybe I'm going to see a completely different Joe Mixon in Houston than I've seen in Cincinnati. But he's felt so underwhelming to me in Cincy that I wanted to have a little bit more of a splash. This is just the emotional side to go with that CJ Stroud, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Dalton Schultz. Like, I don't know. Joe Mixon felt like a fine addition, but to me, I would have rather had one of those other big names. So I put it in the hate it category, but that's the emotional side. Tell me where you actually feel. Where should we land here?
I don't know if Mixon departing Cincinnati could have landed in a better spot. I mean, that's a super coveted role there in that Houston backfield for sure. Now, that is a team, again, that if they have a weakness offensively right now, it is the offensive line. They still need to continue to address that. They have a couple holes on it, and I expect them to not be done there, especially considering their additions they made this offseason. Terrific overall offseason, just cannot be done on the O-line. But in terms of landing spot, where, you know, Mixon has pretty much no competition. Damian Pierce is there. He was benched. I mean, he was the three down the stretch last year. Maybe he gets healthier and makes some impact this year, but Mixon is still, you know, he's going to turn 28 this year. He's getting up there, but he's coming off a season in which he was still effective. He was sixth in snaps at running back last year, fourth in touches, seventh in yards, sixth in touchdowns. He's finished as a top 12 fantasy running back four consecutive years on a per game basis. And he just still had it last year. I mean, I'm with you in terms of flashiness and efficiency, not off the charts by any means, you know, probably average. But, you know, again, they were also dealing with having no T. Higgins at times, certainly no Joe Burrow. Jamar Chase missed a little bit of time. So a lot of chaos there. But I think in terms of going to an offense where the pressure's off, you know, it should be an offense that's going to throw the ball plenty. He can slide into 15, 18 touches a game and be an RB1. I think it's a terrific landing spot. So I like this one a lot. I would put this as an ideal fit for Joe Mixon.
What?
Again,
who are you? Mike,
where else is he going to go? Where else are you putting him that's going to be better than that?
You can have Joe Mixon as an ideal fit. I am not a Joe Mixon fantasy running back fan. I just think that he is more average than he is a superstar. He doesn't have big runs. He's not a guy that like breaks one out for 65 yards. You never say, like, he is a super hard, tough runner. I get that. And that's a very exciting thing for NFL teams. For me, from a fantasy perspective,
I guess so. I mean, but from a fantasy perspective, he's sitting pretty right now. Now, do they draft someone on day two and make me look make this look silly and knock him down a few pegs? It's possible. But as the situation stands right now, you know, I think it's a great landing spot. I mean, it's hard not to project him super high. In fact, I have him 11th on my board. So right there with, again, Kamara, Etienne, Henry, Rashad White, Jacobs, like I have him ahead of a few of those guys. He's very much in that RB1 conversation in this offense.
Maybe I'm letting my Joe Mixon bias get the best of the situation that he's getting into here. So he's just not flashy. There's no excitement. It's like, hey, here's Joe Mixon.
Volume is king, man.
3.8 yards per carry. But you know what? That's enough to get it done. So that's how it works.
You got it.
Mike, I do want to say this, though. We're, you know, a little more than halfway through. You've got three in the ideal fit category. You're the one that's supposed to hate all of our teams.
Oh, there's plenty of time for that. Let's keep going. There's time for that.
All right.
We're not done yet.
Let's talk about, this next one is perfect. DeAndre Swift.
Oh, yeah.
Leaving the Philadelphia Eagles to go to the Chicago Bears, one of the best run blocking teams in the NFL, Philadelphia, to go to the Chicago Bears, who already have Khalil Herbert and they just drafted Roschon Johnson. This is a move that, from a fantasy perspective, I also hate it. I don't like this at all. Where are you at on Swift to Chicago?
Yeah, I went hate it as well. And the reason for that is because of what it does to everyone. You know, it's not, I mean, Swift, I have ranked 22nd, so he's still, you know, a fringe RB2. I think he'll be the lead back here, but who knows? Because Khalil Herbert is a really underrated rusher. He continues to be effective. They used him a lot down the stretch ahead of Roschon Johnson as a rusher last year, and he was good. And I love Roschon Johnson as a prospect as well. I was hoping for more from him last year, but he's involved here as well. So you have three guys. I think all three will play, but I do think Swift will be the lead back. So that's why I have him ranked as a good flex option, but it's kind of tricky to figure out how they're going to deploy him because he ran the ball more last year as opposed to what he did previously in his career, where he was more of a change of pace runner and then a passing game specialist. Herbert's more of a rusher, but could catch a little bit. Roschon's a good third down back, but I loved his rushing efficiency coming in. So it's kind of tricky. And I almost wonder if we're going to go down like a, not to this extent, but like a Miles Sanders path where he signs elsewhere. Maybe he gets a little beat up and then suddenly Roschon Johnson looks good and Herbert's running well and it's just a mess. And then maybe Roschon gets the lead back. Like this could be a total mess. So I put it in hate it because there's just too many mouths to feed right now.
I agree with that. If this offense was a little bit more established, they're going to be adding very likely, it seems like, Caleb Williams to this, along with some of the other
rookie quarterback
they've had. Yep. So, but just the idea that three different mouths to feed and it's not like we don't like the other two running backs. Both of them have things that we, you know, we both think are valuable. So,
yeah. By the way, I don't know that they're going to throw to them as much as last year. So last year they had a 23% running back target share, and NFL average is 19. That's high. Oh, but wow. They bring in, you know, you have DJ Moore, of course. You bring in Keenan Allen. He's going to soak up short range targets. Yep. They also added Gerald Everett. So do we see more 12 personnel and more, you know, an extra target for the tight end position along with Cole Kmet? And that could cost them targets. And you might say, well, yeah, but Swift will be out there in passing situations. They're going to be trailing, like you said earlier, in the earlier conversation about Eckler. But is he? We don't know. Like, he wasn't in Philly necessarily. You know, they use Gainwell at times. So is Roschon Johnson out there in those situations sometimes? So that's it's a tricky one for me. And I think it's going to really limit his fantasy upside.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that one as well. All right. Aaron Jones moves from the Green Bay Packers, where Josh Jacobs now is, to the Minnesota Vikings. And this one is really interesting as well, Mike, because of the fact that Aaron Jones is 29 years old, moves to a Vikings team that last year was hoping either Alexander Mattison, that's the guy they hoped was going to take over, or Ty Chandler was going to be able to do it. Neither one of them, Ty Chandler was fine at times. Neither one of them really took control, though, of that running back room. You bring in Aaron Jones, and he is a much better running back, I feel like, than either one of those guys. Although now, Kirk Cousins is no longer in town. So understanding there's a lot of flux going on within this offense, I've got Aaron Jones as a great fit, understanding that regardless of what happens, whether it's Sam Darnold that is the starter long-term who signed there, or not long-term, but for this season, or they go with another route, he should be the guy within that backfield and should still be able to hopefully soak up some targets. I want to know where you're at, though, on Aaron Jones. Again, because he's 29, so we're working on the ageism here, Mike, right?
We are. That. He's pushing it a little bit. I went with good fit, so we're close on this one. I don't think we've agreed exactly on any of these yet, which is so funny.
DeAndre Swift. Hey, we had a
That's it. Yeah. I went good fit for Aaron Jones. Like you said, 29 years old. It could have been worse. He could have went like where Eckler went and that's not been the number one, you know. But I do think he'll be a lead rusher here in this offense of Minnesota. I don't think that's a lock. Remember, he was kind of splitting carries with AJ Dillon, and now you have Ty Chandler, who played really well down the stretch last season and will have a role in the running game. But I do think Jones will be busy in the passing game. So, and again, I think Minnesota is the fourth best team in their division. They're going to be behind. I know they're going to be aiming for a rookie quarterback in the draft. That's been fairly obvious. You can't really just roll with Sam Darnold. That's not your long-term answer. Right. But Jones should be on the field quite a bit. He's 29. He's missed a lot of time recently, but he's still playing at a high level. So I think when all is said and done, we're looking at another fringe RB2. He's 19th on my board right now. That passing game work goes a long way.
Yeah.
If he gets 9 to 11 carries and 4 or 5 targets, he's going to be in a good spot fantasy-wise. So RB19 for me, not a lot of upside, but a guy that you can start in fantasy.
You know, I'm fine with a good fit because you mentioned the upside, right? Like, this isn't an offense right now with Sam Darnold under center that I'm expecting to light the world on fire. And so from that perspective, I'm good with a good fit there. Hopefully gets a good number of touches, though. We'll see how the offense works out. Let's move ahead. A couple more running backs. Mike, the Bengals sign Zach Moss. And Zach Moss, we saw be really good when he got some opportunities without Jonathan Taylor. But then we've also seen him not be good for a large portion of the games that he's played. And then on top of that, he's going to a team that you and I just talked about with Joe Mixon that does not inspire confidence when you're talking about running backs. So in spite of the fact that Zach Moss is probably going to be, at least as of right now, the RB1 of this offense, how is it that you're looking at this move? Because he's getting out from underneath Jonathan Taylor, but it might be a worse situation being in Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, for him personally right now, if the depth chart doesn't change, it is an ideal spot because he's the lead back in a good offense. But I don't think they're done. I mean, first of all, he's not much of a pass catcher. We know that. You have Chase Brown already there in the mix. He's going to handle a lot of that. And then they very well could add someone else. I don't know if you're going into the season with Zach Moss, who's been basically a career backup committee guy, as your lead back for an offense that has Super Bowl aspirations, a team that has Super Bowl aspirations. So I'd probably put it middle of the barrel right now. I'll go good fit now it is. What did you say? What did you do?
I had wait and see.
That's a good call. I'm fine with wait and see. Let's go wait and see. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, the draft, and the reason why is because he's not a pass catcher. You said everything that I was thinking. Because he's not a pass catcher, are they going to add someone in the draft? And because of that, maybe like does someone fall that we think, oh, I can't believe the Bengals were able to grab this guy. So if Zach Moss was the only guy, then it would be an ideal fit. But I want to wait and see what they do in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I only have him RB34 as is, you know, so I don't even know. I mean, even if the depth chart stays the same and he handles, you know, and by the way, keep in mind, extremely pass heavy offense.
Yes.
Right? Cincinnati is one of the pass heaviest offenses in the NFL. It's going to limit what he does as a ball carrier. And then you add in not much of a factor in the passing game. You know, maybe of all the starters in the NFL be near the basement in terms of targets. That's a concern for me. So, yeah. And again, I don't think they're done. So not a guy I'm in love with right now, which stinks because I liked him a lot as a prospect. But I think wait and see fits well for this one.
Cincinnati Bengals, third fewest rushes as a team last year. Mm-hmm. And Joe Mixon played all 17 games. So it's not like that happened because Mixon got hurt or anything. It's just they don't run the ball as much as we would like to see them do. Right. All right. Another two guys here, Mike, and then we're going to talk about some wide receivers. Devin Singletary going to the Giants to replace Saquon Barkley. This is a situation where I really liked what Singletary was able to do, kind of revitalizing his career in Houston, but I don't see him just taking over a big role from Saquon here because this offense needs a lot more than just one running back to make it work. So I, again, have it as a wait and see. Because to me, if the Giants add enough pieces either over what is free agency or the draft to make Daniel Jones feel like a better weapon, then Devin Singletary is going to be a better weapon for this team. But I think a lot of that deals with what they have to do. Where are you at?
Yeah, I think wait and see is fine. I love Devin Singletary in terms of games played, reliability over the last 3-4 years. No one ahead of him. No one ahead of him. I mean, Josh Jacobs is close, but Singletary has been the guy. He just does not miss action. He's been underrated, terrific, a guy I loved coming into the league in 2019. When, remember, he was a day two pick by the Bills and down the stretch last season was a feature back for that good Texans offense. I think the only better landing spot, I mean, it would have been better if he remained the lead back for that Houston offense. But right now, the Giants depth chart behind him is Eric Gray, a fifth rounder last year, Gary Brightwell. Remember Deion Jackson from the Colts had some flashes in week one last year. But Singletary right now as is the guy. But again, much like Zach Moss, I'm with you. I expect them to draft someone perhaps on day two. So I would say wait and see on Devin Singletary.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. All right, last running back here. We're going to talk about Gus Edwards moving to the Los Angeles Chargers. To be honest, Mike, Gus Edwards didn't inspire me when he was on the Ravens, the run heaviest team in the NFL, because he was a touchdown dependent running back. If he got in the end zone, then he could potentially deliver flex value for your team. But if he didn't, it felt like, what am I doing here? So now he moves to, although I'm saying this, he now moves to a Chargers offense. Jim Harbaugh, he is a big pound the rock kind of guy coming from college. I, again, have this as a wait and see with Gus Edwards, but where are you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that. They can't be done. It's Isaiah Spiller and Elijah Dotson next up on that depth chart, and Jarrett Patterson as well, who played a little bit for Washington. But Edwards right now, top the depth chart, even if that stays. Let's say they don't address this. They go into week one with this depth chart. He's not going to be involved in the passing game. You know, they are going to run the ball a lot. He'll get goal line work. I think the Chargers might struggle a little bit this year as they rebuild this thing. There's just the offense is not the good. I mean, the line's fine, but the skill guys are porous right now since they got rid of Eckler, Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett. So a lot of work to go there, you know, but what's the ceiling for Edwards to your point, you know, 14 carries, one target. If he even gets a target, it's not good. So he's 36th on my board right now, but they're one running back addition away from him plummeting to 50th or 55th. So we'll see how that plays out. I'm good with wait and see.
Gus Edwards played 17 games, had 12 receptions for what it's worth.
And that's his career trend. That's just not his deal. He's a big between the tackles guy, super touchdown dependent. That's not the kind of guy you want to spend draft picks on draft day.
All right, Mike, we got our running back board figured out. Looking back at it, is there anything that like stands out to you? Anyone that you feel like should be higher or anyone that like is going to be a better running back than where they landed? Because sometimes the fit isn't necessarily where they're going to be ranked, right? Sometimes it's like, well, they get the most opportunities here or this offense speaks to them well. So that's why I like that fit.
No, I just think the most interesting one is Pollard, you know, Tennessee. Pollard and Spears, we all want Spears to happen. You know, I loved him as a prospect. We want him to break out. Does he get that opportunity now with Tony Pollard there? So that's the one that's the most intriguing from a wait and see perspective. I know we put him in a hate it because we were just mad about Spears, but seeing which one of those guys emerges is going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, it will. All right, let's dive into now our free agent wide receiver bracketology. We'll call this pass catchers.
Pass catchers, bracketology.
Bracketology. That's right. It's March, Mike. Why not lean into it a little bit? We're going to have some fun with some of the wide receivers that have moved teams or have resigned or have been traded. So we're going to start at the top with this one. We got a bunch of guys we're going to get into. Rather than list them all off the top, it's so many names, it'll just get confusing.
Yeah, let's fly through these. Let's make our picks. Group. We're filling out brackets here.
Keenan Allen goes to the Chicago Bears, taking on Mike Evans, who re-signs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, plus he gets Baker back. Which one of these two wide receivers would you rather have in 2024?
Yeah, first of all, I'm looking at the brackets here. People watching the video can see it. I take umbrage with the seeding here. I don't know how Evans is facing
Evans
Allen.
Evans and Allen, I agree.
They're potential candidates to be in the final, so I take umbrage with that one. But nonetheless, I'm going to give an edge to Mike Evans. He's falling 18th in my actually, I think I'm a little higher. I don't think I updated that on my sheet here. But I have I have Evans 12th in my rankings, and Keenan Allen takes a hit. Look, I don't think Keenan Allen at 32 years of age is going to be the number one there. You know, he'll see a lot of volume in the short range, but they have DJ Moore in that, and not to mention a rookie quarterback. So Allen going the wrong way in the rankings. Evans resigns. Mayfield's back in Tampa Bay. He's in a good spot. So Evans is the easy winner here for me.
I have Evans moving on as well. And I want to say this, maybe not to the same extent, right? But I think that there could be a chance that we see a little of that Adam Thielen type thing for Keenan Allen with a rookie quarterback, where you get a little bit of a guy locked on to a veteran that at least knows how to be able to find the spot. That doesn't mean that I think he's going to be the number one wide receiver, but like, I don't think that Keenan Allen is just going to go there and cease to have fantasy value. He's still going to be a very big part of that offense, but I definitely am with you that Mike Evans is the better option.
Yeah, he'll be a starter, but I'm worried that he's going to fall down quite a bit from where he's been to like maybe wide receiver three territory. Again, Thielen didn't have DJ Moore there, you know, because Carolina traded him away. So
that's true.
But maybe I'm wrong. I could, you know, I don't think I'm gonna have a lot of Allen this year. I don't think I'll draft him much because I think people buy into him on his name. But at that age and with Moore there, rookie quarterback, I'm not feeling it right now.
Not as thrilled with it. All right. Next up, KJ Osborne, who just went to the New England Patriots, adding another wide receiver there. Versus Darnell Mooney to the Atlanta Falcons, the new look Atlanta Falcons. Mike, this one's easy for me. It's Darnell Mooney, and seeing if he can sort of revitalize his career with Kirk Cousins, right?
Yeah, the only thing for Osborne is he the number one for the Patriots?
That's it.
They have DeMario Douglas, Kendrick Bourne off an ACL, Juju Smith-Schuster, Jalen Reagor, Tyquan Thornton, Kayshon Boot. I don't know if he's even going to play because he has issues with potential. Will he be suspended for all the betting issues he had at LSU? So we'll see on that. But I'm with you. I love it for Mooney.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Terrific landing spot. This Atlanta offense, I've been talking it up all offseason so far. They're going to be throwing the ball more. They're going to score more. Should be a top 10 offense or close to it. Mooney's going to be probably the number two. Just a nice fit there with the Atlanta Falcons. So easy call. I'm with you.
Agreed. All right. Next one we have is Jerry Jeudy, who went to the Cleveland Browns in a trade with the Denver Broncos, taking on Rondale Moore, who also went to the Atlanta Falcons. When I look at this, Rondale is going to be the number three wide receiver, probably the number four pass catcher. And I like what he brings to the table, but I just don't know how I take him over Jerry Jeudy with potentially Deshaun Watson throwing him the football. And we got to see what Deshaun looks like. But regardless, Jerry Jeudy is just a better prospect.
Yeah, Jeudy at 49 for me, Rondale at 70. Moore had so many opportunities in Arizona and just couldn't make it happen. Greg Dortch proved to be the better player. And Moore just kept living on pedigree. He can run a little bit. He'll be a fine situational player for them and make the occasional play for Kirk Cousins. But, like you said, probably fourth, maybe fifth in line for targets. Jerry Jeudy should be second in line in Cleveland, and an offense that should be better this year. So I don't love either one of them, but Judy's the preferred guy here.
I agree with you. I do not love either one of them, but I would take Jerry Jeudy. All right, next one up, we have Diontae Johnson.
Here we go.
Moves to the Carolina Panthers to give Bryce Young a real number one wide receiver, as well as Hollywood Brown. We've all been waiting to see who's Patrick Mahomes going to get to throw the football to once they released MVS. Add Hollywood Brown to that list. Which one of these guys are you taking? To me, it's Hollywood.
Yeah, this is where I take further umbrage because I want these guys in separate brackets because I like them both. I'm going to go Deontay Johnson, one of the best route runners in the NFL. What? I don't know what happened. Yeah, he's awesome. I don't know what happened in Pittsburgh, but now he goes to Carolina. I think he'll be the number one. I mean, again, Adam Thielen's 33. He started off really hot last year and then cooled quickly. Johnson should be the one right away and a primary target for Bryce Young, who should take a leap forward in year two. So Johnson, for me, I have him at 32. I have Marquise Brown at 39 in Kansas City. Still have Travis Kelce. So Isaiah Pacheco is going to be super involved, and you still have Rashee Rice, who I think will still be the top target getter in this Kansas City offense. So, yeah, for me, it's I could see you going Brown, but I think Johnson's the better player. I'm going with him.
Okay. All right. That offense just doesn't make me as excited. I think I was looking into this the other day. Deontay Johnson just isn't explosive either. I don't think he's ever had a catch in the NFL over 50 yards. Mm-hmm. He's just like he's a very secure short yardage guy that doesn't have that big play ability. Maybe I'm just too much being excited about those big play.
Maybe he'll be this year's Adam Thielen. Same offense. And hey, I would expect Bryce to be better. That's, again, struggling as a rookie quarterback isn't a death sentence. You know, being good as a rookie quarterback is a good sign, but struggling doesn't necessarily matter. The guys really make a leap in year two. So if they get even a little below average, like 18th in QBR from Bryce Young next year, that means a healthy Deontay Johnson had a big season.
Should be good. Yeah. All right. Here is I love this one. It's all about the upside and talent. You got Gabe Davis going to the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then Kyle Pitts returning to the Falcons, but with Kirk Cousins under center. And we've been talking about this with Kyle Pitts. I know he's not a wide receiver. I know he's not a free agent, but it's like, can we just have a quarterback? Throw him the football, please. So now that Kirk Cousins is here, Mike, you going Gabe Davis or Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, easy one for me. You're giving Gabe way too much credit. The guy has zero top 35 fantasy seasons. He's never finished top 50 in catches. He might not even be their number two. He might be fifth on that team in targets this year because you still have Christian Kirk. Zay Jones might be ahead of him. He's definitely been consistently targeted way more than Gabe over the last couple of years, even going back to before, you know, his later stages with the Raiders. And then you have Evan Ingram. And then you have Travis Etienne. So no thanks. I think Davis plays the same role in Jacksonville, situational deep threat. I'm not going to be drafting him much, if at all.
Worst quarterback.
Kyle Pitts, borderline tight end one. I have him 12th in my rank, so I'll take Kyle Pitts all day over Gabe.
I'm with you on that one. Kyle Pitts just has too much upside. And you would think I'm willing at this point, because he's still 23 years old, to get burned and take a shot on the talent that is Kyle Pitts. I'm not ready to be totally out of that one yet.
Yeah, actually, QB or tight end 10 is where I settled on Kyle Pitts. Yep.
Okay. All right. Next up, we got Michael Pittman Jr. re-signs with the Indianapolis Colts to be Anthony Richardson's number one wide receiver, taking on Kendrick Bourne to be.
Oh, what?
All right. Well, Michael Pittman Jr. is going to move on in this one.
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
All right. That one is pretty easy. It feels bad taking a shot at the New England Patriots, although they had a pretty good run for a really long time. I was just going to say,
look, you're going to keep signing number three receivers, and that's on you guys. You know, you got to figure that out. I mean, I don't even know if they're going to draft a high end guy at this point. They'll go quarterback most likely. Maybe you take someone on day two, but you still have, I mean, then who are you cutting? Because you probably brought in all these guys to play. I mean, at least Douglas, Bourne, Smith-Schuster, Osborne, you would think make the team. Rager, they just re-signed to be a special teamer. That's five. Tyquan Thornton, are you cutting him loose at six?
Second rounder last year, right?
Two years ago. Yeah. So yep. I don't know what they're doing, but it's not good for fantasy. Let's put it that way.
All right. Next bracket, we have Calvin Ridley, who moves to the Tennessee Titans. I think going to be the number one wide receiver for Will Levis. Yeah. Also have Treylon Burks there, Chigokonkwo as well. And then for the Pittsburgh Steelers, George Pickens, the clear number one there that we've talked about now that Deontay Johnson is in Carolina. Are you going George Pickens with that Pittsburgh offense or Calvin Ridley with that Tennessee offense?
Yeah, so my projections are almost done. I just dropped new rankings on the site, rolled through every team. I wrote an article as I went along, which will be up soon, but projections will be on the site soon, my PDF, all that stuff. And you know, there's always teams that are kind of smooth and easy to project. Other teams are a little trickier. And one of the hardest ones to predict was who leads the Titans in targets. Is it DeAndre Hopkins or is it Calvin Ridley? You know, that's going to be a tough one. You know, Hopkins is 2 years older, but had a 29% target share last year, which was well ahead of where Ridley was with Jacksonville. Always been a target hog. So it's tough. I don't think it's for sure. You can even make a case Hopkins was the better player last year than Calvin Ridley, who relied heavily on volume near the end zone. So that was a tough call. That all being said, you know, both guys are going to be heavily featured in this Titans offense. I do have Ridley at 31 in my rankings, but I have George Pickens just ahead, 29th in this offense. I know it's an Arthur Smith offense, but his target share should be reflective of something like what Drake London saw. That was enough at least to put him in that wide receiver 3 or flex conversation and better quarterback play than what London has had the last couple of years. So There's just enough for me to give Pickens an edge, but this is a very close call.
Yeah, I'm with you because I don't feel like, I mean, how do you feel about Will Levis as a prospect being able to lead a group of fantasy pass catchers? Because I don't want to take a shot at him if you don't, you know, if you're not a fan of Will, but if you don't believe that he can be that guy under center, it's going to be tough to believe in these pass catchers given what the Tennessee Titans offense has been.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They're sticking with Levis as of now. So they obviously believe he can make a leap. So that's a good sign. And he's going to have better guys around him. And I actually just totally lied to you because, again, I'm bad prep job. Michael, you did a bad job here because I forgot to update a couple of these to my newest rankings post yesterday. Ridley, I do have just a hair ahead of George Pickens in my rankings. I settled them. As I was saying it, I'm like, wait a minute. This doesn't seem right. I feel like I moved Ridley up, which I did. So again, they're in the same tier. This is a close call. Pick your poison, if you will. Very, very close one. But I do have Ridley just a hair ahead.
Okay. In that, with that update in your rankings, do you also have as a part of that Calvin Ridley ahead of DeAndre Hopkins, or do you have Hopkins ahead of Calvin Ridley?
Yeah, I have targets very close. I have Ridley just ahead. So I'm going with the slightly younger player, the guy that just got paid over Hopkins. So Ridley 25, Hopkins 27, Pickens 30. They're all very close with guys like Zay Flowers and Tank Dell, Chris Godwin, all those guys kind of in the same area.
Sure. All right, last one that we have here is Irv Smith, who joins the Kansas City Chiefs, taking on Mike Gesicki. I guess we needed a tight end bracket.
Yeah, this is nonsense. See, whoever wins this is going out in the next round. So for
I'm
me,
say Mike Gesicki.
It's clearly Gesicki, I think. He went to Cincinnati to essentially replace Irv Smith, but Tanner Hudson had passed Irv Smith last year, and they brought back Drew Sample. Neither one of these guys is going to be on the fantasy radar, most likely. You know, maybe Gesicki has a chance. Irv Smith is probably going to be the 3. Like, I think he's the Jody Fortson replacement in Kansas City.
Okay.
You know, it's like, because he departed. They still have Noah Gray, who they love. He's been just a solid player for them for years. I don't think he's going anywhere. So it's Kelsey Gray and Irv Smith. So it's Gesicki, but let's move on. That's way too much time spent on third string tight ends.
For what it's worth, every time that you say Jody Fortson, I immediately think of Jody Foster. I don't know why. I just can't not put the two together in my brain.
Can we put her in this bracket? Because yes, she has better chance to advance.
Might have advanced over Mike Gesicki. It's true. This is how it works because Keenan Allen and George Pickens didn't make it, but Mike Gesicki moving on to the Elite Eight. All right, let's move through this quickly then. We're going to rip through it now that we've gone through it. Mike Evans taking on Darnell Mooney in the Elite Eight. Obviously, it's going to be Mike Evans.
Yeah, right. Evans crushes. Yep.
All right, Jerry Jeudy for the Cleveland Browns, taking on Deontay Johnson with the Panthers. I would take Deontay in the wide receiver 1 category.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's go. Johnson to the Final 4.
All right, Kyle Pitts with Kirk Cousins under center. Can he finally realize all that potential? Or Michael Pittman re-signing with Anthony Richardson?
It's got to be Pittman for sure. We're drafting him many, many rounds ahead. I hope Pitts is in this conversation next year, but not yet.
All right, and then Calvin Ridley or Jody Foster?
Tough call. No. I mean, I think in future brackets we need to work in some celebrities we like, or just for fun. But that'd be fun. I'm gonna go with Ridley here,
Calvin Ridley,
yeah. over Mike Gesicki. Yeah.
Still shout out to Mike Gesicki. All right, Final 4: Mike Evans or Deontay Johnson? Which one do you think is the better move in fantasy? Yeah,
you know what? Would it shock me if Johnson finishes like wide receiver 14 and Evans is 16? No, but I'm going to draft Evans first. I'm going with Mike Evans.
I agree with you. Mike Evans is the clear guy to move on there. There is a part of me that has a little bit of concern. Same thing for what I felt like we started to see last year with Travis Kelce, where it is a big guy that is, you know, in his aged 30 season moving on. I don't want to believe it. I want to still see that Mike Evans is that guy. There's a little bit in the back of my head, but I'm fighting that, Mike, that ageism to think that, like, hey, man, you know, I would feel better if this was a Keenan Allen type, a guy that maybe lived more in the middle rather than just a deep shot. But
I'm with you. I mean, Evans hasn't finished top 15 at receiver in targets or catches since, get this, 2018.
Oh my gosh.
2018, very, very touchdown and vertical target dependent, but he led all receivers in touchdowns last year, was third in end zone targets. As long as he keeps getting that, he's going to hang in there in that wide receiver two mix.
Yeah, I don't think that'll change. Hopefully it doesn't change this year. All right, and then on the other side, you got Michael Pittman going up against Calvin Ridley. I like Michael Pittman in this one, especially with what we saw out of him last year. Give me Pittman.
Yeah, it might be more of a conversation if DeAndre Hopkins was not on that roster in Tennessee, but yeah, Pittman was so good last year, just consistently massive target shares. I need more touchdowns from him. That's been a tough one, but otherwise he's been great. So I'm gonna go with him.
You know, this is very interesting because I feel like we've got two wide receivers that are facing off, Mike Evans against Michael Pittman, that are just like, their stature is very similar to each other. Those big body wide receivers, right? Except one guy scores a million touchdowns. The other guy, we've got to find a way to get in the end zone more, and that's Michael Pittman Jr. Mike, I would take Michael Pittman here because I like the youth and potential upside. I'll bet they're very close in your updated rankings, though.
Back to back, this is a tough call. I remember debating this one yesterday when I was working on it. I did give Evans a slight edge for now, but sometimes you do that and then you're like on the clock and you're looking and you're like, no way, I can't do it. Something else though to consider is Anthony Richardson is the quarterback now. It's not going to be as high volume of a passing offense in Indianapolis. You're just going to more running and scrambling, but I think they're still going to score a lot. Although Richardson, that offense scored a lot when he played last year, but it was a lot of rushing touchdowns specifically by him. So something to keep in mind. It's a close call, but I think if I was on the clock, Daniel, I would agree. I would go with the youngster, Michael Pittman. Yeah.
Finally, I swayed the machine. It's possible, people.
It can be done. We're still figuring this stuff out. I did my first post-free agency wave of rankings. I'm not done yet. We're getting there.
Heck yeah, man. Hey, this has been a ton of fun, Mike. Obviously, this is just a first look, right? We're going to have so many more moves that happen. Once the draft happens, we'll go in and take a deeper dive on every single one of these teams and look at these moves and what it means. But it's very fun to be able to take an early look as to what these guys' value can be for the 2024 season, Mike. So I appreciate this. You said you got a couple things over the course of the show that are coming out, dropping, that I want to make sure people are able to find. Tell me what you have coming out very soon, just to make sure we can know where to find it.
Yeah, updated ranks are on the site. Projections will be in the game soon. You know, we're gonna launch the new game very shortly. I don't know what the exact date is, but we're getting there. And as I did my sweep of every team, went player by player. I mean, I'm projecting fullbacks just to make sure that all carries, targets are accounted for. If a team throws to a fullback 15 times, that means that's 15 targets that the other guys don't get. That stuff matters. Right. So did that full sweep, still putting the finishing touches on it, but I have an article that I wrote as I did that with things I kind of learned along the way. That'll be up on the site in a bit, maybe a week or so. We'll see. So just tweaking away. The PDF will be done soon with the full projection PDF with everything in there. So I'm looking forward to it. I've been grinding through. We're almost there.
Heck yeah. I am always eagerly awaiting the PDF because I know how much effort you put into making that happen. It's a huge document, a labor of love, but it's very valuable. So we'll definitely keep an eye out for that. Mike, thanks for hanging out with me. I can't wait to see you again in person, although you did a great job from your basement in your pajama pants. I just want to say that. You can absolutely wear them on the show as far as I'm concerned. I thought you did a good one here.
Okay, yeah, we'll see what the poll says first. People might not want that view of me and my... No one wants to see or visualize me in my pajamas, I don't think. But we'll see. We'll see what the people say.
I think as long as you call them pajamas, if you call them jammies, maybe I'd feel
jammies.
Differently. Yeah, I don't do that.
Yeah, I don't do that.
That one doesn't work. All right. We love you guys. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Be kind to each other. Be kind to yourself. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.
It's no secret, not a mystery. The one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate, Full Sail, you Alliance fan through and through. With the hippest beard, I'm telling you.